You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to GoldRadio.fm, podcasting in .99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to GoldRadio.fm.
Oh, it's good to be back. I tell you, these are very dangerous, strange, but optimistic times. I just find that everything is kind of upside down. I know that's a weird thing to say, but everything is in a state of flux. Everything seems to be on the edge of turning to a very positive outlook, a very positive situation, but we have to go through a transition period, and it's going to be very difficult, and it's just starting. Anyone who thinks that the election has now brought about a victory and now it's just a clean-up, mop-up time, that's a pretty bad description and perception of what is going on. We're just starting. We're just starting the battle. We won an election. Now we've got to win the war. And, you know, a lot of people like the baseball analogy. It's useful. It's like we just had a really solid second inning. Now let's continue.
The latest issue of the Hat Trick Letter is out. Can you tell us about it and how people can subscribe?
Yeah, there's a good solid chapter on the dollar and issues regarding the dollar and you know, interest rate cuts and a number of different things related to that. There's a big long super chapter on silver. And I know silver has had a pullback, but it's a bit of a psychotic pullback because nothing has changed with respect to silver. There's still tremendous shortages of silver. There's still tremendous demand of silver. And we're seeing a real test of the old ceiling of 30 and 31. I think we're going to prevail, and I'm not real worried about it at all. I'll make some more comments in that direction. But, you know, obviously I had a good solid chapter about the election, and it was an optimistic chapter, and it turned out to be pretty much on the mark. I didn't expect that there would be a prevailing wind for the fascist Dems, and there was not. There's a lot to be said about the various aspects of the election, and I will address that. But, you know, the dollar, the BRICS issues, and the election, these are the matters for the October Hat Trick Letter, the newsletter. And I'm very excited about what's going on, but I am not delusional. I do not think for a minute, oh gosh, we've got it all won. The cabal is going to be sent packing. That's not the way it's going to be at all. Anyway, the newsletter is out for October, and here we are. I got to say, this is really a rather funny comment to make, but it's true. It's my reality. Every 4 years, actually with the midterm election somewhat too, but every 4 years, I'm glued to the set. I'm glued to the television. I'm glued all evening to, this time it was CNN. 4 years ago, it was Fox News. I'm glued to the mainstream news. I want their interpretation. I want their view. I want their perspective. I want their reporting. I want their commentators. I want their panel. And I got to say, CNN did a rather respectable job. They were rather objective. They were rather fair. They were rather professional. And they did have an Obama former campaign manager clown who talked about the pain for the Democrats and the pain for mercenaries in Ukraine. But he got shot down by a former Trump campaign manager who was sitting right next to him. And the former Obama campaign manager looked surprised and looked like, oh my gosh, I just got elbowed to the face. Yeah, he did. It was interesting to watch the swing states. And I watched it on CNN. I watched it till 1 a.m. my time. And it was Central Time. 1 a.m. Central Time. 2 a.m. Eastern Time. It when Pennsylvania turned and went red and was called a Trump victory, I went to sleep. Arizona and Michigan did their usual trick, which was to keep the vote continuing and to announce that they had machine difficulties. Well, that's how they keep the vote count continuing. And this is really interesting. I have a boots on the ground client in Michigan, and he said, Jim, I got a friend who knows someone who was in the monitoring station, and at midnight, California plates, a big SUV, and it dumped several big bags. My guess is photocopy fraudulent ballots, and the senatorial candidate from Michigan, Slotkin, who was a little bit behind, she ended up coasting to a victory, and as soon as she was well ahead, they shut down the vote count. Okay, this is how Michigan had their Senate race a victory for the Dems, the fascist Dems, and Arizona did the same thing. They just brought in tons of fake ballots, and their senatorial candidate for the Dems won. Poor Carrie Lake. She had the governor race stolen from her in 22, and now she had the Senate race stolen from her in 24. She might want to consider a different state, but maybe she could lead a movement to reform the Arizona government and rip loose the Sinaloa Mexican cartel influence for their governor, for their top officials, and for their court system, the judges. Okay, there's a lot going on, but the big story, absolutely huge story, is the election victory for Trump. And I got a joke, and I'll be repeating my various points down the road here, but the demographic group that disappointed Comrade Kamala Harris the most was photocopy machines. They really let her down.
The Dow continues to hit new all-time highs. Could we see 50,000 points on the Dow in 2025?
Oh, it could be, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a hangover in the next couple of months as difficulties ensue. I regard the dollar rally to be, it's celebratory. I understand that. The dollar rally, I get that. And when I had a few worried clients contact me and say, Jim, I don't get it. Gold and silver are down. I said, yeah, the dollar's up. There's a little bit of euphoria going on right now, but it may not last real long. And I said, look, let's get to some basic questions. Is the U.S. government debt crisis over? Have they resolved the U.S. government deficit? Are foreigners no longer dumping treasury bonds? Will we have difficulties in finding bond investors for financing the government debt, which is converted to bonds, securitized? Have we resolved the $33 trillion in debt? Have we fixed the deficit that's growing every 90 days, another trillion? Okay, that's part of the Monday morning hangover that we've not quite gotten to yet. So I think Trump might actually... I'm not sure about the Fed rate cuts. We are on track to continuing rate cuts. We had another rate cut last week. They're trying to get a bond rally in the face of a debt default. It's really unprecedented historical event, unprecedented. I don't know about 50,000 Dow. I'm more concerned about 3,000 gold than 50,000 Dow. You know, when they rally the dollar, Jim, what they're really doing is saying in the next 6 to 12 months, the United States is going to reindustrialize and solve its debt problem. And I say, not going to happen there and not going to happen here. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. This is going to be a long road. And let's enjoy the celebration. But let's get real, okay? Next Monday morning, let's get real.
The Nasdaq's into new all-time high territory. Do we see 25,000 points on the Nasdaq in 2025?
Maybe. Same commentary. Maybe. A lot depends on continuing the rate cuts in the face of a debt default. We're going to be managing a debt default. Trump has said several months ago, we're going to manage a debt default. It's going to be one of the first orders of business. He doesn't mention that anymore, I think, because it's going to be worked behind the scenes. So maybe I'm not focused on the Dow and the Nasdaq. They are important. I'm focused on the bond market and the price of gold, silver.
The U.S. dollar's been on the rise since the beginning of October. Are we likely to see a strong dollar under the Trump presidency?
Well, we might. But again, are we going to reindustrialize the United States economy in the next 6 to 12 months? How about the next 2 years? Are we going to solve the debt crisis? I don't think so. Will we have to raise interest rates to protect the dollar? Trump actually wants a weaker dollar. He has said many times, I want a weaker dollar for a trade advantage. So what we're seeing is going opposite to what Trump wants. And if he gets what he wants, we're going to get a reduction. We're going to get a decline in our stock market. So the dollar is something that Trump wants to weaken in order to help our export trade. This celebration, Jim, is not rational. It's not based on anything that you can sink your teeth in, like U.S. is going to recover its economy. We're stuck in an inflationary depression. I mean, that is the reality. I did a Chapwood Index glimpse in the most recent report for October, and it shows inflation between 9 and 10%. We're calling it 2.5. We lie by 7%. So if we've got a dead even flat economy, we've actually got a 7% depression. Okay, we're not even remotely in the starting blocks for an economic recovery and reindustrialization. The move to impose tariffs is a prelude. It's like a bunch of horns. We want to reindustrialize. We want industry to come back to the United States. But in the meantime, we're going to impose tariffs. Okay, this is not economic recovery and reconstruction. So I don't think the dollar is going to continue its way up, and I don't think gold is going to remain flat. I think it's headed to 3,000 and silver is headed to 40.
The Fed dropped its central rate by 0.25% last week. Alongside this, are rates being lowered in the mortgage market?
Yeah, a little bit, and I don't think it's going to matter much. What good is a lower mortgage rate when you don't have sustainable income to qualify for a mortgage? It's just not going to work. We've got a moribund, you know, kind of dead asleep property market, both commercial and residential. Maybe we'll get a little blip up in the residential housing market, but the commercial market, CRE, commercial real estate, CRE is, you know, it's dead in the water. A quarter point doesn't mean jack shit to me. The mortgage market is going to be in trouble and remain in trouble because banks are going to be unwilling to lend, and when they do, they're going to be unwilling to approve with the lousy income that is on the applications. The banks aren't lending.
Are lower crude oil prices likely under the Trump presidency?
Yeah, but he's got to fight the Rockefellers. He will probably do things to make it more likely and more, amenable to make the path straight and smooth toward lower prices. But lower prices means the Rockefellers make less money. And, you know, I'm going to get to this pretty darn soon in this interview, but the Rockefellers are one of three groups that are in direct opposition to Donald Trump. They're not going to cooperate with him. So if he has measures or does bully pulpit maneuvers to lower the oil price, it's going to have to come with cooperation from the Rockefellers, but also from Russia and Saudi Arabia, UAE. It's going to be really interesting, but I don't expect crude oil prices to come down a whole lot. I expect gasoline prices to come down, because I think he's going to make a national initiative to increase the supply. And drill, baby, drill, he's already talked about it. I think he's probably going to open up some of the Alaskan ridge, you know, the North Slope. But, you know, again, this is really not rational. We need 2 years to get the economy back on track. We've done a punishing act. We've done brutal sledgehammering of the economy for 3 years with the fascists in charge and the Biden show. This is not going to be turned around quickly. The oil price is just one of many things.
Does it look like gold topped in October?
Well, yeah, it's taking a breather now. It's consolidating in a big way. You know, we had a considerable move from 2,300, 2,400 all the way up to 2,700. Well, fine. Now it's back down a little, and it's not tragic by any means. And I'm still excited about all the fundamentals behind gold. You know, people get worried over the short term. I had a client from Arizona contact me yesterday, and he's a retired gentleman. He's a good guy. And he said to me, Jim, I'm really worried. I need to sell a couple gold coins every month, blah, 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 and all that. And I said, don't worry. Don't worry. The government debt has not been resolved. The government deficit has not been resolved. We've not reduced the government size. We've not stopped the wars. We're likely to transfer the war from Ukraine to Israel and Iran. We're going to have trouble, you know, finding bond investors to finance our debt. There's still going to be a lot of BRICS nations that are selling the treasury bond. Our economy is not going to recover quickly. We haven't reindustrialized. So there's nothing really positive in the 3 to 6 months time frame. We're going to have a tremendous battle coming up, and we'll get to that shortly. Oh, and silver, excuse me.
Yeah, did silver top in October?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I know it's kind of a double question. Well, yeah, it's consolidating. It's not breaking down. It's going back to the old top, the old resistance. The saying is, your old ceiling becomes your new floor, and we've not broken it, but it's certainly being tested right now. India and China have not reduced their demand. Okay, this is not rational, what's going on. There's still tremendous shortages in silver, and even with a higher price, we got lower production globally in the mining sector. What we're referring to is inelastic supply. The price is up and the supply is down, not up. The demand from India and China is still up, strong. Solar industries have not caved in and shut down. There's nothing rational about what's going on with the dollar, gold, and silver. Nothing.
Bitcoin is at all-time highs, backed by nothing. What do you see ahead for Bitcoin?
Well, Bitcoin has more backing than the dollar. The dollar is up. Bitcoin is up even more. It hit 80,000, I believe, today. I don't like the comment that it's backed by nothing. It's backed by mining and accounting verification. Is there any accounting verification of the U.S. dollar? Is there any accounting verification for narco U.S. dollar savings accounts? Is there any account verification of dollars for money laundering for narcos and child trafficking? Okay, Bitcoin has account verification, and the dollar doesn't. Bitcoin is an underground method of making payments that will not go away. Don't ever forget, in December of 2022, when Bitcoin went down to something like 48 or 50,000, J.P. Morgan said it was going to zero. Now, I don't swear much, but how fucking stupid is that? There's a lot of bullshit surrounding the Bitcoin and crypto industry. Bitcoin is up because Donald Trump has mentioned that he wants to have Bitcoin as a component to the dollar reserves. Now, that's a wonderful concept. Do we have any dollar reserves? No, we have $33 trillion in debt. Again, there's nothing rational going on with the dollar, gold, and silver, and you can throw in Bitcoin at the same time. We don't have any reserves, but when we reindustrialize in the next 3 years, we will. But we have to pay off or default on the debt. In the meantime, that's part of the hangover reality curve. What do I see ahead for Bitcoin? Nothing but strong. Nothing but bullshit from the major banks. They better get on board and include it with dollar accounts and CDs and linkage to coin exchanges, or they're going to go irrelevant and late and risk going extinct. That's what I see ahead for Bitcoin. There's plenty backing up Bitcoin.
The aftermath of the landslide victory for President Trump, what are you seeing and hearing?
Oh, I'm seeing a lot of really good planning, and it looks like for the last year or two, the Team Trump, I call it Team Trump, it's not Trump, he's a figurehead. He's a speaker. He's a campaign manager. He's a rallier. And that's all well and good. But anyone who thinks that he made up the 10-point plan for education, anyone who thinks he made up the 10-point plan for security, anyone who thinks he made up the 10-point plan for anything is nuts. He's a contributor. There's a team behind him. I am very impressed with a lot of what I see regarding planning, regarding like the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. I'm impressed by that. But, you know, for all the really solid planning, you need to put it on the road and it has to run. And it has to get around the roadblocks. Let me mention a few. And I try to keep this simple, but it's not simple. I'll keep it simple in three different categories. They're not going to want to cut back on their budget of $1.3 trillion for Medicare and Medicaid. They're not going to want the American Medical Association to be attacked and subjected to Nuremberg trials for genocide, for 5 million Americans killed. 20 million, 22 million Americans seriously injured, no longer can work, incapacitated. The second group is the military contractors. They like their forever war. They like the $840 billion in annual budget. So they're not going to be applauding and supporting any movement by the DOGE efficiency group to cut back on the military budget. Trump has always said, I had the administration of peace. I was a peace president. Well, from all indications, he's trying to move the war from Ukraine to Israel. Let's see if he can stop the war in Israel and stop the attacking of Iran so that Iran stops their attempts to kill Trump. And in addition to the military contractors who like their forever war and create instability everywhere in the corner of our globe, you have NATO. And NATO is almost self-funding, not quite, almost self-funding with money laundering from trafficking enterprises and Swiss bank accounts that manage that money and Ukraine operations underground. The military complex with NATO, I believe, is going to be at war with the white alliance element of the U.S. military. Let me make that clearer. I believe the bad element of the U.S. military with the contractors are going to want to continue with the huge budgets, continue with the wars, continue with more destabilization, and they will be at civil war internally with the Pentagon. The third group, it's largely called big tech, but it's a combination of mainstream news, social networks, search engines, and for that matter, fact checkers. And Donald Trump has already said he is going to attack and fire three-letter agencies like FBI, Department of Justice, Homeland Security, anybody who influenced any department that was loaded with people that influenced censorship with big tech, they're going to get fired. So who runs mainstream news and social networks and fact-checkers and search engines? If Donald Trump is smart, he's going to develop an avatar to be seen in public while he remains behind the scenes in control, and he's got a lot of work to do to reform the U.S. government. You know, there's a lot of ballyhoo and backslapping and celebration. Oh, gosh, we're going to cut $2 trillion off the U.S. government budget. Let's see if he can cut even $200 billion off in the first year. Let's see. Watch the resistance with the Rockefellers, Medicare, Medicaid. Watch the resistance with the military, $840 billion a year. Watch the resistance with Langley and big tech. Are they going to roll over and suddenly reveal all kinds of scummy behavior with Hollywood and political types torturing kids? We're going to have a potential witch hunt of very evil people for treason, bribery, Epstein Island activity, Diddy activity. I heard that a number of people in Hollywood are on the run. They have left the country. This is going to be exciting. Okay, what am I seeing? I'm seeing an alignment of the fascist Dems, like in California, where the governor is prepared to resist any reform from the federal side, where the attorney general, a little jerk, in California. It said, I'll be there. If they try to take away our freedom, I'll be there. Okay, right. Well, what does communism do but take away your freedom? So what we're seeing is an election that backfired on the fascist Dems while they tried to have millions of Americans sleepwalk into communism without the label. They called it democracy. Well, so did North Korea.
President Trump is talking about instituting tariffs and eliminating federal income tax. Is this a brilliant idea?
Well, yeah, it is. Well, yes and no. The tariffs are, it's a really bad idea. Unless you follow up the tariffs with rapid reindustrialization, it's stupid suicide. Stupid suicide. What are we going to do? We're going to add another $1,000 to every Toyota and Honda? What are we going to do? We're going to just block off all Chinese trade? Well, get ready for shortages and get ready for higher prices. So tariffs mean higher prices and more price inflation. Eliminating the federal income tax, that's a wonderful idea. They need to come up with something to back it up, like what Donald Trump has talked about, and he doesn't mention it much lately, but he talked about a national VAT tax, like a national sales tax. Well, I think that's a good idea. I think we're going to see a lot of three-letter agency go away. The Chevron deference case was the fourth case to demonstrate state power. We might have had a fifth case to demonstrate state power when Virginia was supported by the Supreme Court in their decision to allow Virginia to eliminate non-citizens from the voting rolls, and the bleeding heart fascist Dems claimed that that was, you know, directed against the migrants. Well, yeah, but the Dems still won Virginia because they imported so many thousands into Virginia in the last several years. Many of them already had voter status, already had citizenship, fast-track citizenship. So Virginia, in my opinion, was the only victory for the migrants. And remember, the demographic group that let down Kamala Harris the most was photocopy machines. I don't like tariffs, okay? And I don't like income tax. The wealthy don't pay much income tax. They got good accountants.
What do you think President Trump's landslide victory will mean for Canada, Mexico, and the USMCA trade agreement?
I don't know. All three, I don't know. This is going to be a wait and see.
When President,
I don't know. I'm sorry. Let me just a little bit more. This is, I hate to just say I don't know and walk away. Sorry, Jim. We have to redefine our relationship with Mexico. One early indicator of a positive side was that Trump contacted Sheinbaum, the woman, the Marxist new president in Mexico. They don't use the word Marxist. Just take a look at the policies, and they're all Marxist. And Mexico responded by bringing out a portion of the Mexican military to turn back the migrant wave, the migrant flood at Texas. So we're getting some cooperation from Mexico. And I believe what I heard was Trump said to them, we want your support to stop the migrant caravan. And if you don't, we're going to impose tariffs on Mexican products like vehicles, cars and trucks. So there's a lot of battling going on. With Canada, golly, I don't know. Are you guys ever going to get rid of Trudeau? Trudeau is just a gigantic cancer. There was another falsified, fraudulent vote in Vancouver. I don't have all the details. But this USMCA trade agreement, I don't know. I don't know. We got to take it apart, take a close look, and see what's going on, and look at the battling that's going on. Because Mexico is run by drug cartels, okay? There were 50 murders during the election season for Sheinbaum in Mexico.
When President Trump takes office, do you think election fraud all over the world will become a thing of the past?
I think he's going to have a really big, broad, and deep initiative to make the voting process at the national and state level, and this could be adopted in other countries, to be on the blockchain. This could have been the last big election, and France, like I guess 4 months ago, 5 months ago, their big election, that was full of fraud too. We might have seen this year the end to the ballots being put into machines, where the machines have their fraud protected by patents, copyrights. There was a lot going on in the election. I haven't gotten to too many details. I like to stick to the finance, especially in these shows. But it's safe to say that the blockchain is going to come into view, be tested, and of course the fraud masters are going to say the blockchain's not foolproof. It's not secure. Well, yeah, it is. What's not secure is Michigan's vote, especially their Senate. What's not secure is the Arizona vote, especially its Senate. We're going to see a lot of progress toward straightening out and making more legitimate the votes. There should be a system where with a certain ID number, like your own passport number or social security number in the United States, you go in there and say, well, let me see if the vote I cast yesterday is still the same. You know, that's a good test, a simple test. Let's see if the totals from midnight last night are still the same at 5 in the morning with no more votes being counted. Those are just basic questions. And if we can't solidify that and make secure them, well, we need to scrap the system. There was a vote in Michigan that went to the Supreme Court of Michigan. They said, no, we are not going to paper ballots with hand counting. We're going to stay with the machines. Why? Because they rigged them. We had machine breakdown all across the country in blue Democrat states.
What are you hearing from inside the Democrat Party?
Total dissension, disarray, finger pointing, blaming of Kamala for being a failure. You know, she's a little witch. She's really no different from Hillary. She just has a different ancestry. They're blaming Kamala for raising $1 billion, but spending it badly, poorly, unwisely, and now being left with a debt. So even after their loss, the Democrats are begging for money for the campaign that failed. They're begging for money to pay off the debt for all of their spending that they did in a stupid manner. They paid Oprah $1 million for an interview. I mean, this is really stupid stuff. They spent something like $750,000 just on the Oprah Winfrey stage set. They might have been able to do it for about $14,000. No, but they spent $750,000. Now their accusation that a number of consultants, fleeced their accounts for the Democrat National Committee. Consultants for the Democrats stole from the Democrats. Okay, so that's what's going on inside, and they're disarray, and there's a little bit of confusion, like, what do we do wrong? But there's still some idiots out there who said, well, Donald Trump was successful in convincing women, and they're all wrong because now the streets are going to be unsafe for women. Donald Trump did this. Donald Trump did that. And they're not doing introspection. Usually, a constructive organization will do introspection and say, where did we fail? Where did we misspend? Where was our strategy poor? What was our strategy of getting Hollywood celebrities who are mired in slander for their child rituals and child abuse and child torture and child rape? Was that a good idea to get them to endorse Kamala? Well, you know, I think birds of a feather stick together. This is the biggest disaster for a political party that I've seen in my entire adult lifetime. And I got to say, Jim, that 6 and 8 months ago, I was saying, why was Biden going to run? He couldn't handle a debate. Why are they backing Kamala? Don't they have a better candidate? She never won a delegate, was never in the primaries, has no political base. The big base for Kamala was people in cemeteries, photocopy machines, and illegal migrants.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap, with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. Jim, do you think the pedophile crowd will flee the U.S.? And by the way, Canada's already full.
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to flee. It may not be permanent, but they're going to want to avoid prosecution because one thing that Trump is going to be doing is developing the white hat element in the FBI. I heard from a rock-solid military source that something like 60-65% of the FBI is white hat, you know, loyal to the Constitution and the people. And the same 60-65% in the Department of Justice is loyal to the Constitution and the people. And this has been some really good progress. They're flipping them. They're running them out of town, the bad guys. There is a war going on in the FBI for ownership of the Diddy tapes, the videos, and for those who are naive enough to think that they're one or two and the cabal has control of them, you're dead wrong. They're like 50 to 80 videotape libraries, and the white hats have their hands all over the evidence. What they're doing now is they're forcing Hollywood types to flip on the higher-ups. They're forcing, like, managers of the Diddy. The Diddy empire has managers. This guy's a billionaire. This is going to come out. This is not going to be squashed like Hillary's Manhattan, you know, brownstone home database. No. I'm sorry to say, but Rudy Giuliani might have helped to shove that stuff under the rug in New York City. I don't trust that guy. I don't trust him at all. So the pedo crowd is worried sick. There's panic in Hollywood. I don't really know much about the pedo crowd in Canada, but I imagine it's the same old stuff. They're on the run. They see what's coming. There's going to be prosecution. Trump is going to make people flip, and he's going to gather the evidence, and the videos are not going to go away. There may not be a whole lot in the mainstream news at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the evening, but there's going to be a lot of activity behind the scenes, and there's going to be prosecutions. This is going to, I think, wreck Hollywood and at the same time wreck the music industry, and they're going to have to turn it around. Movies and music, they're going to have to turn it around. This crowd is going to be on the run, and it's going to be fun to watch. And we're going to hear about a number of different major stars, and they're going to be contacting us from foreign countries. And I don't even want to guess right now, but I have a few on my short list of where they're going to go.
Many Hollywood celebrities endorsed Kamala and said she should vote, or said people should vote for her. The obvious question is, why?
Because they're of the same type. They abuse children. They're involved with child-related crimes. They're cokeheads. They're drug addicts. They're lunatics. I think it's going to be interesting to watch George. He raised a lot of money for Kamala. Is he next going to say you misspent it? Is he next going to say, Kamala, you ran a poor campaign? Is he next going to say, Kamala, you can't interview for crap? You can't state the case for the Democrat Party? All you ever talk about was Trump did this, Trump did that. I call it the anti-Trump campaign, the platform. I had an item in my newsletter for the October, and it was the platform for the Democrats and Republicans, and there were several on the Republican side that made a lot of sense. Several, you know, for reforming and reconstruction. And on the Democrat side, there were only two. Hate Trump, support migrants. That's their platform. Watch the Democrat National Committee. Watch it again. How many times did they mention Trump? Was it 40 or was it 80? What did they mention for their own platform? Except, hey, four more years of the same old shit, the same old degradation, the same old deconstruction, the same old price inflation, the same old betrayal of the American people. They ran a bad campaign, and the Hollywood types supported it, and they threw money at it, and they didn't dissect it. for what their platform was. And they're guilty. They're guilty of supporting a communist. This was a campaign to support Kamala Harris and have the American people sleepwalk toward communism. Look at what she has done in the past. Look at what some of her policies proposed to be. Free speech eliminated, censorship, gun confiscation, arrest Elon Musk, jail political opponents. What's democratic about that? And Hollywood supported it all. Oh, I thought Hollywood did a great job in exposing themselves as supporting communism, censorship, and fascism. I get some criticism, and I like to be clear. They say, Jim, you're all confused. Talk about fascism, talking about communism. Yeah, it's a fascist structure atop which they had communist policies.
A lot of people have been involved in a lot of bad things. Do you think they will face justice, or will it all get brushed under the carpet?
I think we're going to see a lot of justice, and not as much as people want, and not as much as we should have. We're going to get justice, and a good test case is going to be Nuremberg trial. And Trump might punt and say, well, let the IOC in Europe manage the Nuremberg 2 trial. And that would be a punt and a cowardly act, in my opinion. We need to have a Nuremberg trial for Big Pharma operating with headquarters in the United States that killed 5 million people and seriously injured 22 million. And those are minimum numbers. They're growing all the time. We need to see justice, and I don't think we're going to get as much as we should. Let me give some simple napkin math numbers. There are about 8,000 or more hospitals in the United States. Everyone has a director, an assistant director, and a group of directors and managers of various departments. And let's just say that there are 12 people at the top for every hospital. 8,000 hospitals, 12 people. You're talking about 100,000 guilty doctors and nurses who signed on to the genocide, who accepted the bribe with the COVID reward, COVID protocol. 100,000 doctors and nurses of high rank. They all must be prosecuted. They all must lose their license. They all must face consequences and maybe jail time and a combination of heavy fines and jail time, no fly lists, and lose their Social Security. And maybe seize their pensions. We have to have justice. We're going to get state-by-state actions with class action lawsuit. We're going to see that. There are a few states like Kansas who are leading the way. And remarkably, a lot of different, let's just say, entities are admitting now that the vaccine, the mRNA, you know, the messenger RNA type vaccines, vaccine with a double X to kill, not a vaccine with double C to strengthen. Vaccine with a double X. A lot of entities are admitting that they were deadly. And closer to home, my mother-in-law just had her doctor tell her and my lady that the 8 to 10 strokes that she suffered and has left her completely debilitated were all as a result of the vaccine. Debido a la vacuna, due to the vaccine. So that opens the door. Is there going to be a lawsuit? Probably not. Are they going to give free care for this and that? No, hell no. So will the medical sector face consequences? We're going to see. So will he back off on the Nuremberg trials for the United States and the 100,000 responsible hospital directors and staff? That's what I expect. He's going to punt. It's going to be the first betrayal by Trump. That's what I expect. Watch. Just watch. And I'm not saying it's an easy job. Let's see if he does really well in the other eight out of 10 areas. There's a lot to do, a lot of work, a lot of reconstruction. I haven't heard him say anything about bringing industry back to the United States and encouraging with tax incentives like income tax and property tax incentives and hiring credits. I haven't heard anything about that. Job training program, I haven't heard anything about that. So we haven't even begun the reconstruction.
What do you think will happen to the woke movement?
It'll die out. It'll cry its way into the corner. Maybe it'll go back into the closet. We get some of the weeping liberal retards saying that, the LBG movement, it's gonna just have to go backwards and there'll be no more safety for people who wish to come out and show their pride. Isn't it amazing that pride is the most deadly of the seven sins? Seven deadly sins, and the worst one is pride. So there's pride in perversion? Wow, that doesn't go over well. I saw a wonderful graphic today. It was a picture of a man, and he looked like he was in really good shape and might have been a motorcyclist, I don't know. But he looked strong, he looked able, and it was his back. And he had tattoos, and it was LGBT. And he had little graphics above the L to show a liberty, and above the G to show a gun, and above the B to show a beer, and above the T to show Trump. So we might have a new LGBT movement for liberty, guns, beer, and Trump. You know, what I found interesting, and I pointed this out about 6 or 8 months ago in the newsletter, the press and MSM and Hollywood, they want us to think that the gay population is like 5 or 8% when I don't even think it's 2. And the trans, they want us to think it's like 4 or 5% when it's like maybe a 1/5 of 1%. So, you know, if Kamala got out the lesbian, gay, trans vote, she got out 10 times less than what they were advertising its size to be. So the Kamala failure was an exposure of how teeny tiny the lesbian gays are. I don't believe you should be proud for perversion. I don't even like tattoos.
With President Trump and RFK Jr., do you think we will see jab justice?
In many forms, yes. But at the highest level, I think they're going to compromise it away. Remember that murder does not have a statute of limitations. And that's a very important point. Trump might make a compromise, like I'll just make up an example, that during the year 2025, there'll be no Nuremberg trial, but they might start the process in January of 2026. There's no statute of limitations for murder. And we're getting the evidence all lined up that the mRNA is responsible for wrecking the immune system, enlarging the heart, damaging the heart. And there are a lot of reports out that we're going to see mass deaths in the next couple of years. And some of it is exaggerated and some of it is very real. So if we have another wave of deaths, like, okay, I don't believe Edward Dowd is done in his estimation. I only have an old estimate of 5 million dead, 22 million injured, seriously, enough to, you know, lose the job, can't work anymore. Maybe it's up to 6 million by now and 25 million injured. But a year from now, a year and a half from now, if we're up to 10 million dead, there might be some real loud public outcry for justice against the same 100,000 that I delineated. 100,000 hospital directors and top-level staff, management staff. These guys are guilty. They took the $100,000 bribe from COVID. They're guilty. They knew what they were doing. They read medical journals. They saw that journal articles were suppressed. They know what was happening. They knew what they were doing. Premeditated murder, mass scale. That's jab justice. What we're going to see in the interim is a halt to the health mandates. We're going to see more and more, and I've read only about 4 or 5 or 6 of them, people who were fired for not taking the vaccine, and they won multi-million dollar awards in court, wrongful dismissal of jobs. That's very serious. So that's jab justice. There's going to be a lot of different forms of jab justice. It's going to be fun and exciting and satisfying to watch. Where I believe the disappointments are going to be will be at the top.
Can you use the following in a sentence that makes sense? We are unburdened by what has been.
Yeah, we're unburdened by the Democrat tyranny. We're unburdened in the future by the vote fraud that they have institutionalized. We are unburdened in the future by their Chinese Communist Party bribery and influence. We are unburdened by the Democrat-led, let's just say, perversions and child crimes. We're unburdened by the past, and we're going to embark on a new future. And Kamala, you can go to hell.
How can our listeners subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter?
It's www.golden-jackass.com. We're in the 21st year now, and it's still going strong. And I got to say something modestly. This is real. This is, I've got a group of colleagues and they help me a lot. We bounce ideas, we bounce analytic conclusions, we share information, we share data, we share articles. We're a tight group, and they don't work for me. We just respect each other and share, like good citizens, like good financial partners would. We don't have any business interests together. They're not on salary. They have jobs. They do their own thing. I have a newsletter. And they're part of a group that I assembled, and we stuck together for more than several years, a few of them for more than 10 years. They're responsible for a lot of the good information that I get. Like, they're my research tools, but they're not hired. It's just shared information from well-meaning partners. And a couple of them are truly brilliant. And I've got another one who's like my side researcher for different things like artificial intelligence and the Ukraine war and vaccination risks and medical data. His own father died, and it was misclassified as COVID. He died of a stroke, but he had sweat on his forehead, so the doctor in South Florida, you know, did a fraudulent deed and called it a COVID death. That was one of my group of 10 COVID fraudulent deaths that I noticed in early 2020. That was from one of my colleagues. It's his own father. He died. And I met him. I met him, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. Nice guy. I have a number of military sources, 3 or 4, and 2 of them are strong, and 2 of them are infrequently making contributions. But I bounce ideas off them. And they're responsible for a lot of the quality of the work. And they're not paid. They just share. They want the truth to come out. They're loyal patriots. We're all loyal patriots, even my straight colleagues. I've got other colleagues who are on the digital side, and one of them is missing in action. I sure hope he comes back. I don't mean he's gone quiet. I mean he was on a foreign mission and in the line of fire, and I hope he comes back safe and sound. A really great guy. But he works for a company that's in trouble, a company whose name everybody would recognize. Okay, I'm trying to explain that there's a team behind the work. I do the writing. I do the assembling. But I don't do all the research. I get a lot of research hound help. And I've got a bunch of elves. And I mean elf in the most respectful manner. I've got 30 to 40, 50 people who are clients of mine, paying clients, subscribers. And they send me stuff on average. On average, they send me things like 5 or 6 times a week. Some of them send 20 a week. Some of them send 2 or 3 a week. And they're all valuable. And some of them are repeated items. And when something comes to me in my desk in a repeated manner, like, oh my gosh, I've seen that now 8 times. Well, that gives it more importance and impact. And there are many different items that I'm seeing 7 and 8 times. And it's about, you know, reforming the U.S. government. It's about Diddy. It's about election fraud. It's about Michigan and Arizona. Fraud. There's going to be consequences. And I got boots on the ground. Like the guy in Michigan who said, I have a friend who saw the California plates. And suddenly the senator candidate for the Democrats won in Michigan. Okay, 2 stolen seats. 1 I have evidence for. I'm very grateful to my colleagues. And I'm very grateful to my research hounds. And I'm very grateful to my elves. You're wonderful, and I'm extremely grateful for my sponsors and donors that keep me going. I have a good track record, and I owe a lot of it to them. And I got to say, this is very real. I have been beaten down, harmed financially from extraordinary events, and I pray to my Lord Jesus, as he called it when he was on walking the earth. He said, when I am resurrected, I will bring the great helper, the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit almost every day for strength, for wisdom, for discernment, and for mainly for strength, because I'm getting harmed and I'm getting tired. But work is therapy for me, and the support that I get from colleagues and donors, it keeps me going. I'm supporting 6 kids. I'm handling medical bills because the medical system here does not provide medical care. We pay into medical insurance, and it's for the public. It's for the poor. It's not for us. I'll give you an example. Fallopian tube cysts on my sweetheart, a $20,000 bill. She was told by the public hospitals for standard coverage, public hospital, we can handle that, but you've got a 4 to 6 month wait, and we're not certain about the 4 or 6 months. Well, she's in serious pain, so she had the operation done, and it cost $20,000, and it's not covered. Okay, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm handling a lot. I've got a lot of support, and I'm very grateful, and I'm also grateful to my Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit that makes me strong every morning. Every morning, I'm strong. Every evening, I'm kind of beaten to shit. Every evening, I'm beaten to shit, but I'm able to sleep. It's amazing, Jim. I sleep minimum 6.5, 7 hours. I sleep well. I take daytime nap. I get my rest. I get my exercise. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. So I continue. I hope to make it to the victory. And I think it's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. Because, Jim, let me make it simple. I think the next 2 to 3 years are going to be a compromise interim period where a lot of weakening happens to the cabal. Weakening, not destruction. Weakening. And then 4 years from now, 5 years from now, they're going to be largely destroyed, but not completely. Look for the military contractors to do what Nazi Germany did in 1945, 6, 7. They created the Odessa Group, a private contracting company and group of companies. The Odessa Group was a group of companies that supplied weapons and hardware for the Wehrmacht. Look for the same thing to happen. If they lose their funding, they're going to go private, and they're going to be hiring mercenaries, and it's going to be ugly because the U.S. military-industrial complex is utterly gigantic.
Jim, thank you so much for being on goldradio.fm.
Well, it's been a pleasure. This is history in the making. These are tremendously important times. And if you or I or the listening audience, anyone listening, if we are alive in 20 years, we're going to be talking about last week. We're going to be talking about the next year for the Trump presidency. We're going to be talking about obstruction of Kamala Harris trying to take the presidency with the 25th Amendment. We're going to be talking about how the Congress was obstructed in their obstruction for the inauguration of Donald Trump. We had, Jim, a breakdown on the attempt by Obama to have his fourth term as president. The Biden show was the third term for Obama. He got denied the fourth and he left town. He's gone. I hope he never comes back. Sign up for the newsletter, golden-jackass.com. Support me in my work. And again, I'm very thankful for my supporters and my colleagues. They're very valuable to me.
My guest has been Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. goldradio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.